Art of Molecule Podcast
Engineering Life and Us
Michelle, Engineering Life and Us, this multimedia project, when you started it, did you have a special audience in mind? Is there a target audience for this production?
I'm very much a today and tomorrow person. I don't like to look back. And my target is really the people that are living in today's world, and some people that are extremely interested in engineering life and AI, because in somewhat it's connected. But my main target is the next generation, because this generation, we will benefit to a certain extent, but we will not be able to fully benefit what is happening for many reasons we discussed in the last podcast, I think.
When you talk about the next generation, you mean that's the people who are not on this planet right now, right? The coming?
No, I think yes, and the generation that is really growing up right now. Mm-hmm. And I think I talk to kids, 5-year-old kids. What do you think about AI? Because they know AI. And then, oh my God, they start speaking nonstop. And then I ask, what about engineering life? And they go silent. Oh, we don't know about that. But there is a movie, there are movies about AI. AI, the parents are definitely talking in the living room about AI. I mean, it's a frequent subject. Not frequent, but it comes up. But engineering life is still mysterious to many, many people. And unless you are a cancer patient or a patient that is in need while alive and is given hope by doctors that are directly connected to you, or scientists that are connected to you in some way, or can use some of the results that you created, mainly in eye surgery and in transplants of limbs or orthopedics, where I think engineering life has made success, and then into, I don't know in English how it's called, these little satellites that go in our body and start cleaning our blood, that is more and more being used, and we use it to rejuvenate the blood and to clean the blood. So, but there is still a lot of unknown factors about engineering life, and probably like myself, when I met you, I knew what I read in the press, and I knew also that your main activity is research, and then there we have to see about ethics. It's the ethics reason. When will this be able to be applied, and how can we apply it in the quickest way? So all those billions of dollars that are being invested can actually be put to use.
Now, Engineering Life and Us is going to be a multimedia project and production. In what way do you envisage, do you see, can this project contribute to the understanding of lay people, of the interested public? How can it help them to enter into this more or less complicated sphere of science?
It's very complicated. I saw Kubrick's 2001 Space Oddity when I was 14 years old. So it was 1968. And 2001 left a incredible impression on me. Like 60% or 70% of 2001 became real, and 40% are still ifs and buts. So I feel the 40% of unknown that we have after this period, that I call it the Kubrick question. Mm-hmm. We're going into the next 40 years of a high-speed revolution. All the scientists, they are in agreement, and Stephen, one of the last things Stephen Hawking said, we could predict the future, and I talked about this last time, by 30 years, usually. Today, scientists can say, we know the next 5 years maximum, but they cannot even go as far as 8 years. Mm-hmm. So it's exponential, like COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Who would have expected in January this year that 3/4 of the planet is infected with a new virus? Mm-hmm. I think engineering life is a constant search and a constant sharing of information, because I think this will open a lot of doors for you to share information. And also, the way I'm going to present, it's going to take the fear factor away.
How? Tell me more about it. What can people expect?
Well, AI. AI again is, people are afraid of AI. They're afraid of the military effect.
Artificial intelligence.
Yes. They're afraid of robotics, even though all the robots we have right now are super helpful to us. Mm-hmm. The ones that we know, the robots, they are incredibly beneficial to us. We have in Japan a lot of household robots. They do your cleaning, they already do your washing, they vacuum clean, they do a lot of simple tasks while you're not in the house anymore. We are already in the Ratata plan, if you know that Italian film, the guy that has his robotic house. So we are already in the past the Ratata plan stage, but we are in a robotic stage already. And engineering life, I think, is what people actually, they think it's AI. And I think what we're going to try to do, that people don't think engineering life is AI. Engineering life is benefiting us, and we need to live and work hand in hand with engineering life. And I think that's really also the social media I want to open up at the beginning of next year, to start with this heartbeat, that the heartbeat is basically the rhythm of life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now if I were if I had a choice between watching two presentations, and one of these choices was your Engineering Life and Us project, what should I expect when I see your your production. Can you give us a little insight into what you're planning already? I mean, right now you're in the midst of forming this piece of art, so it's not finished by far. But what do you think can people expect when they see the final product?
I think it's... I mean, you know, it's a reverse atomic bomb. I think you reverse the atomic bomb. You basically, you start with the lightning, because the first thing on an atomic bomb is extremely beautiful. And this will be extremely, extremely beautiful to start. And I think it really... it's almost like a baby being born, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's also, you call it molecular science. Mm-hmm. And it's basically what incredible power can come out of a molecule, you know? And that power, if you use it in a positive way, which is my analysis so far. So for me, it's a very beautiful tool to work with. There will be some areas that will be gray or maybe even dark, but they're not dark because they're negative, but they're more mainly neutral, because we need to question ourselves, where are we today and where are we actually going? And I think that's really the main question that I have, that I've mentioned in my last podcast. Where are we today, and what is ethical, and how quick we can break the ethical barriers that everybody can benefit from this? Will it take a private investment like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos that will make it possible, or Richard Branson that made SpaceX, or Elon Musk, that will it be a private sector that's gonna say, okay, we need, because we're getting to a point which has never happened in history, that individuals become richer than governments.
Now you're talking about the ethical question of justice, actually. Who is exactly, going to exactly. get his or her his share exactly, exactly. In this research? Do you think that, you know, you mentioned a couple of names of very wealthy people. Is that going to be the answer, to get them involved and to share some of their money? Or are there other ways, maybe even better ways, to get this scientific outcome into the farthest corner of this world, you know? What? How can we do this? How can we achieve this?
But this is the question right now, because America took the money away from the World Health Organization. A lot of the budgets are cut. Medical budgets are cut all over the world, and they need to invest into COVID. One of the other things that is essential, along with your project. Is going along with eradicating poverty in a way, because you want engineering life to benefit humanity. Mm-hmm. And this is the ethical question. Now, maybe there is science and the private sector getting together, but the funds will need to be enormous ethically to make it accessible to everyone. There will be, and there are already, rich people experimenting with many of the inventions, Chinese inventions, some of the laboratory inventions that got out. They are cleaning their blood. They're going to special clinics that freeze them. They think they're going to be reborn. I mean, there's so many things that we don't know and that people are actually working on right now. So in the end, this is really a question of ethics. And I mean, that's what you're dealing with on a daily basis.
Now, one could argue that the coronavirus, for example, has more or less taught us that you have to think globally, right?
I think definitely. And I think China and us, we need to work together. I worked in China for half a year or almost, and we discussed this already right now. They're using science in an incredible way, and they need to, because there's such a enormous amount of population, and they also need to cure diseases, and they need to be very, very fast in the response. So I think engineering life needs to become faster. Your research needs to be accessible quicker to the people that can. I mean, like, we know now they talk about a cure for cancer. You heard about this, no? About this new cancer drug that is now being made available. Now, cancer is very big on your list. A big part of engineering life benefits cancer patients. Now, this is, cancer is, we talk about COVID-19, but it sort of probably equals the numbers right now. If you look at the numbers, actually, it almost is identical in number, cancer and COVID-19, very strange, because now you're basically 10% of America that's infected as of yesterday. So your response of research needs to be much faster to the individual, and I think that really is part of my project. This may be the great part of the project. How can this incredible research, how can a child that is growing up with an incurable disease, can that child have preferential treatment? Because this came up with COVID. If in America, if there is a 64-year-old and a 24-year-old in an emergency room, and there is one ventilator, who are they going to give it to?
Well, the question is the same in Europe too, actually. If you only have one bed available, who do you give it to, right? So how are we going to decide that? That's a
and
big
who,
issue.
Who can play golf? No? This is really, I think, one of my most essential questions that I have, that is the big unknown. It's like CERN, you know. CERN spends billions of dollars in research. But I would like to know, are we allowed, or can we move one object? I heard, yes. But all those billions of dollars, where are they going? Who is benefiting right now? And who is the first one to have it? And who is the last one to get it? It's always the first one to have it and the last one to get it. And this is an eternal question.
Art of Molecule Podcast.
Engineering Life and Us.